church.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nivert.
In John chapter 7, verse 32, the Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, speaking of the Lord Jesus. And the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him, to arrest him. They wanted his speech stopped. And then we read in verse 45, then came the officers to the chief priests and the Pharisees, these same ones whom they sent to arrest the Lord Jesus. And they, the chief priests and Pharisees, said unto them, why have you not brought him? We told you to arrest him and bring him back to us, and you're coming empty-handed. Why have you not brought him? The officers answered, never man spake like this man. We heard him speak, and we were dumbfounded by what he said. We've never heard anybody speak like this. We've never heard the content of such speech. We couldn't arrest him. Never man spake like this man. Now, a truer statement has never been made with regard to his manner of speech. No one spake with the confidence with which he spake. He said, we speak that which we know and testify that which we have seen. Everything he said was absolute truth. No lies, no exaggeration, utter sincerity, no attempt to project an image to impress people, no manipulation of his hearers at all. With what cogency he spake, how clear and lucid were his words. Never man spake like this man in the history of the universe. Never man spake like this man. We understand why Mary sat at his feet and heard his word, but I'm only talking about the manner of his speech now. What about the content of his speech? After the Sermon on the Mount, that great, glorious sermon that's recorded in Matthew chapter 5 through 7, where he begins by telling us who is blessed. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Oh, that glorious Sermon on the Mount. How many times did he say, you've heard it said of them of old, but I say unto you. I say unto you. Something the Lord never said was, thus saith the Lord. He said, I say unto you. Now that ends with the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he spake as one having authority and not as the scribes. I love that slam on the scribes, the religious leaders of his day. There was no authority with what they said. But what the Lord said, his very words recommended themselves as nothing less than the words of God himself. Now, we could spend our lifetime on this verse, considering what he said, but what I'd like to try to do is limit myself to the book of John, where this was said, and just take some of the words that he said and consider and see for yourself. No man ever spake like this man. Hear for yourself. In John chapter 1, his first words were, what seek ye? He said that to the men following him. What seek ye? What a question. And they said, Master, where dwellest thou? He said, come and see. He's not holding you off. He's not keeping you away. Come and see. Do you want to know who He is? Come and see. He won't keep Himself from you. Come and see. I love when He came to Nathanael in chapter 1. And He said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael said, "Whence knowest thou me? How do you know my name? I've never seen you. I don't know who you are. Whence knowest thou me?" He said, "Nathanael, before you saw me and you were sitting under the fig tree, I saw thee." You see, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks as omnipresent. He speaks as omniscient. He speaks in omnipotence. Before. Oh, don't you love that? Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. In chapter 2, when he saw the money exchangers trying to make a profit out of religion, trying to make money from religion. And wouldn't you say that's what much of religion is about? What'd the Lord do? He made a whip. A scourge of cords. Somebody said, "Did He hit those people?" I don't know, but if He did, it was right. He made a scourge of cords. He said, "Take things, these things hence. Get them out of here." He overturned the tables. "Make not my Father's house." And remember when He said, "My Father," He's speaking as Himself being equal to His Father. And therefore, His Father's house was His house. "Make not my house a house of merchandise." And He overthrew the money exchangers' tables and the cages with the sacrificial animals to be sold for profit. And they said, "Who gave you the authority to do this?" And listen to His answer. "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up." Now, they thought He was talking about the physical temple, but He was talking about the temple of His body. "You destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up." He foretold of His resurrection even then. In John chapter 3, we read of His interview with Nicodemus. There was a man, Nicodemus, who came to Him by night, a ruler of the Jews. And he said, "Master, we know that You've come from God, for no man can do the things that You do except God be with him." And the Lord said, "Except a man be born again, he can't enter the kingdom of God. Except a man be born from above, he can't see the kingdom of God. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again." Now what He's saying to Nicodemus is, you are so dead in sins and unable to do anything to save yourself except you be birthed by God. Born again, born from above, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. And Nicodemus said, "How can these things be?" He said, "Are you a master in Israel and knowest not these things? We speak what we do know and testify what we see, and you believe not our witness." And then he makes this incredible statement that nothing had ever been heard like this. "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness." And that's talking about when Moses put a brazen serpent on a pole and lifted it up, and everyone that was bitten by the fiery serpents, when they simply looked, that's all they did was look, they lived. "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Referring to His crucifixion, lifted up between heaven and earth, nailed to a cross. "Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish." Never man spake like this man. I think in John chapter 4, when He comes to that woman that was so different than the religious leader, it was an immoral woman. It was a woman who had many issues. She'd been married 5 times, and she was at the time cohabiting with someone. And the Lord goes to meet her. He must needs go through Samaria because she's there. And He said, "Woman, if you knew the gift of God." His gifts have no strings attached. He doesn't need anything from you. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, you would have asked, and He would have given thee rivers of living water. Never man spake like this man. She still didn't know what he was talking about. And she said, I know the one Messiah cometh. He'll tell us all things. And he said, woman, I that speak unto thee am he. Never man spake like this man. In chapter 5, he came to the man laying at the pool of Bethsaida, waiting for the moving of the water, when whoever went in would be healed. And he said to this impotent man, wilt thou be made whole? He didn't ask him if you can heal yourself. He said, will you be made whole? In that same chapter, he says, as the Father raises the dead and quickens them, even so the Son quickens whom He will. He ascribed two things to Himself that can only be ascribed to God. Only God can raise the dead. And only God is absolutely sovereign. He does it with whom He will. Christ says, that's me. In John chapter 5, verse 39, He said to the Pharisees, you search the Scriptures. In them, you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. How do you think they felt when He said that? This book you claim to believe, every Scripture in it testifies of me. And you will not come to me that you might have everlasting life. Oh, no man spake like this man. In John chapter 6, the famous sermon at Capernaum, he said, this is after they asked him the question, what must we do that we might work the works of God? That's a good question. What must we do that we might work the works of God? He said, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent. Period. No and, no additions, faith alone. You believe He was before God sent Him, the eternal Son of God. You believe God sent Him. And you believe He did whatever it was that God sent Him to do. And He goes on in this message to say to these people, you've seen Me and believe not. All that the Father giveth Me shall come to Me. And him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out. Never man spake like this man. He said the words in that same sermon. He said the words that I speak unto you. They call them hard sayings. He said the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Never man spake like this man. In chapter 7, he said to his siblings, the world cannot hate you, but Me it hateth, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. Every work that comes from the world, even the supposed good works and righteous works, they're all evil. He said in that glorious chapter, if any man thirst, let him come to Me and drink. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Never man spake like this man. In John chapter 8, when we have this woman taken in adultery, in the very act, can you imagine how humiliated and perhaps angry she was when she was dragged by the Pharisees to Christ, and they say she was taken in adultery in the very act. There's no doubt about her guilt. Moses said, stone her. What do you say? Don't you love the way the Lord said, he that's without sin among you, and He's talking about that sin, throw the first stone. And they all began with shame to move away. And he said, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Never man spake like this man. You see, there was nothing to condemn her for because of the blood that he shed on Calvary's tree. In that chapter, that very same chapter, he said to his enemies, You are of your father, the devil. And the lusts of your father you will do. Never man spake like this man. In that same chapter, he said, Before Abraham was, I am. I am eternal God. I am that I am. Never man spake like this man. In chapter 9, when the man that was born blind was given sight, hear the words of the Lord, For judgment I'm coming to this world, that they which see not might see. And that they which see, they think they see why I would save them, they'll be made blind. And the Pharisees said, Are we blind also? He said, If you were blind, you'd have no sin. But now you say we see, therefore your sin remaineth. If you think you can see why God would save you because of something you've done, you're blind. If you can see no reason why God would save you, you're without sin. Jesus Christ died for you. In John chapter 10, the great chapter on the shepherd and the sheep, he said, I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep have I, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. The Lord Jesus laid down His life for the sheep. Is everybody sheep? No, they're goats. But everybody He died for must be saved. And then in chapter 11, the giving Lazarus life. He'd been dead. Been dead 4 days. By this time, he stank. And when the Lord finally came to that place, Martha said, If you'd been here, my brother had not died. As if the Lord couldn't have kept it from happening because He wasn't in that geographical place. She was wrong. Yes, He could have prevented Him from dying if He wasn't there because He's Lord. But she still said, If you would have been here, my brother had not died. And He said, Your brother shall rise again. And she said, Well, I know he'll rise at the last resurrection. And He said, I am the resurrection and the life. The resurrection is not an event. I'm it. I am the resurrection and the life. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Oh, nobody spake like this man. I am the resurrection and the life. And then there's that 12th chapter right before his final sermon with his brethren, right before he died, he said, The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. That hour for which he came that glorified him and his Father. Never man spake like this man. In chapter 13, when he's giving his final instructions to his disciples, he said, You call me Master and Lord. And you say, Well, for so I am. I hate it when people use His name Jesus in a flippant way. He's the Lord. He said, You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. Then at the end of that chapter, He said, Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. Let not your heart be troubled. Now how can that be? You tell Peter he's going to be denied 3 times and yet he says, Let not your heart be troubled. I'll tell you why. Because Peter's salvation wasn't in his ability to confess Christ or deny Christ. His salvation was in who Jesus Christ is and what He accomplished on Calvary's tree. And he could say to Peter, even in the face of that, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And that's what he was doing when he went to the cross. He was going to prepare a place for his people. In that same chapter, chapter 14, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Never man spake like this man. He didn't say, I'll show you the way. I am the way. He didn't say, I'll give you life. He said, I am the life. He didn't say, I'll tell you the truth. He said, I am the truth. No man comes to the Father but by me. The only way you can get into the Father's presence is if you're in me and I bring you into the Father's presence. Philip said in that same chapter, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. And he says, I've been so long time with you, Philip, and yet hast thou not known me. He that has seen me has seen the Father. Never man spake like this man. In chapter 15, he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Without me, severed from me, apart from me, you can do nothing. Now what a beautiful emblem. The same branch, the same stems that flow through the branches flow through the vine. There's no connecting point. This speaks of the eternal union of Christ and His people. And He says, without me, you can do nothing. Never man spake like this man. He said in that same chapter, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Never man spake like this man. We wouldn't believe that if it wasn't in the Bible. But however the Father loved him, that's how he loved his people. He said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. Does your heart say truth, Lord? Never man spake like this man. And then in chapter 16, when he's talking about the work of the Holy Spirit, he says, when he has come, he shall convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. When God the Holy Spirit convicts you, you're made to see that you can't even believe unless God gives you faith. You're made to see that the righteousness of Christ is the righteousness that He brings to His Father. You're made to see that all judgment took place on the cross. And then He said, these things have I spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. Not in your works, not in yourself, not in your understanding, not even in your faith. These things have I spoken to you that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And then in John chapter 17, that great high priestly prayer for his people. Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also might glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Never man spake or prayed like this man. In John chapter 18, when he's arrested, they come to arrest him. And he says to them, whom seek ye? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am. And the scripture says they fell backwards, driven by irresistible power. He was letting them know, you're not in control here. I'm in control. This is happening because of my will. I'm permitting this to happen. It's all a part of my glorious purpose. In that same chapter, he said, my kingdom's not of this world. It's not a political kingdom. If it were of this world, my servants would fight that I should not be delivered thence. But now my kingdom is not from hence. I came to bear witness to the truth. And oh, how he bore witness to the truth. Then in John chapter 19, when Pilate said, don't you know that I have power to crucify you and I have power to release you? The Lord looked at him and said, you could have no power at all over me, except it were given thee from above. What majesty! No man ever spake like this man. And listen to these final words from the cross. It is finished. The reason I came, I accomplished what I came to do. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. It is finished. They are saved from their sins. Never man spake like this man. And then in chapter 20, after the resurrection, he said, peace be unto you. He showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad. You'll be glad when you see the power and meaning of his resurrection and what those scars he still bears means. The complete salvation of everybody he died for. And then in closing, in John chapter 21, I want to read this to you. He made this statement to Peter. When thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest not. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he signifying what death he should die and glorify God. Peter was crucified upside down. And yet it says by that death he glorified God. What manner of man is this? The God-man, that even a death like that would glorify God. Truly, never man spake as this man spake.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.nybert@gmail.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.